everyone, and welcome to another week of Ask a Black Chick. I am your host, Latifa. This is a podcast. If you're confused as to where you've landed, this is a podcast where we answer questions, we as in me, and you personally over there with, you know, your friends or whatever, questions submitted about race, love, relationships, life, politics, social media, news, whatever, from the perspective of Black women. That's me. So, let me just catch you up on what's been going on the last couple of weeks. So, last week, if you noticed, I didn't post an episode because last week we launched our pre-sale for our, my boyfriend and I, for our Thrifted Rich website. It was only for email subscribers. We've been putting in so much work over the last couple months. I've told you guys about it a couple times. It's our online thrift store for secondhand exclusive items that are interesting, retro, or they, not all of the items are retro. Some of the items are just fresh and new and old school or modern, whatever it is that just is a very specific aesthetic, if you will, of the Thrifted Rich brand. You can go to thriftedrich.com. That's T-H-R-I-F-T-E-D rich.com. And you can see all that we have to offer. We have jackets, we have pants, skirts, tops, sweaters, pullovers, hoodies, whatever you can even imagine. But here's the thing. It's one of one. And I think that's a concept some people are missing. It is only one of one because these are secondhand items. We find these by chance. We do all of the hard work for you of going through the racks and shopping and finding. We source from all different places. So it's only one of one. So once that one is gone, a lot of people are like, oh, are you going to get this back in? Are you going to get this back in? We're not getting anything back in unless it's by chance. You can definitely, though, send any requests that you may have. Now I'm going off into a tangent, but you can send any request that you have to hello@thriftedrich.com. That's hello@thriftedrich.com. And we can see what we could do. Keep an eye out for that item and, you know, charge a little bit more for the service. But that's something we can work out over there. But in general, it's just one of one. So that's another thing that makes it so special, because if you see something that just catches your eye, and I promise you, you will see something that just strikes you like, wow, that's so cute. Like, and most of the stuff you won't be able to buy in a regular retail store because it's at least 2, 3, 4 seasons old. And that's what makes it special, because just because it's 2, 3, 4 seasons old, these are not super highly over-the-top trendy clothes that literally are like garbage after the trend is gone. These are items, structured items that could fit into any style that you have as pieces that are important that you hold on to no matter what the season is or how many years pass. So again, you guys can go to thriftedrich.com. You can go to our Instagram, same name, thriftedrich, T-H-R-I-F-T-E-D, rich, R-I-C-H.com, and Instagram as well. So very long story short, that's pretty much what happened last week. I guess it was a lot of work setting that up, putting it together. My son was home. Also, I'm at the end of the semester. For those of you that don't know or may have forgotten, I am in grad school pursuing an MBA. Yay! But we're at the end of the semester here. Ends next week on the 14th. No, that's not next week. That might be the week after. Anyways, it ends very soon, which means all of our projects are coming due. So our projects are becoming to be due, and the finals are coming up. Anything that was due in the semester that he's like, oh, you have time for it, or you have time for it, it's like it's time to, you know, hand those things in. So it's very stressful trying to do all of that and also maintain a social life and maintain being a mom as well, because that doesn't stop just because I'm trying to work or do this or do that. So it's a lot. Your girl has been stressed over here. Sorry, I'm drinking tea, but I've been definitely stressed because I'm just prone to stress, and the smallest little 2 or 3 things build up and I am like, oh my god, over the top stress. But I'm back this week. Other than the launch of thrifted rich and just general school stuff. Nothing crazy has been going on. Nothing too wild. I have been paying attention a lot to social media lately and what's been going on over there. But it's been pretty dry. I mean, nothing in social media news has really struck me as something I want to bring over here to the podcast that I can even remember or think of. But I did have this thought the other day when I was coming home from dropping my son off at school. And I just thought to myself, why is it in society that it's like an accepted norm to hate your job? Like, I remember one time I told my stepmother a couple years ago, I was like, I just want to do something where when I wake up in the morning, I'm not like, oh, I got to go to work. And she said, well, that's a part of being an adult, is like that feeling when you go to work. Like, nobody loves their job. And I'm just like, that can't be. Why is it this accepted norm that for the rest of us, so not like a celebrity or an athlete or someone like that, but the rest of us. So that thick layer of everyone else. Why is it the norm that we are just supposed to hate our jobs? Like, we just hate our jobs. And everybody has bad days at work, of course. But, like, I just don't want to live that life. I refuse to hate the thing that I have to spend most of my time doing. I can't ever be in that position again. I'll lose my mind. I really will. So I was just thinking about that. Like, that's something that we definitely need to change. Because, like, why would you want... If you were in a relationship where you hated that person most of the time, like, they literally were getting under your skin most of the time, you wouldn't stay. You would be like, let me, you know, disentangle myself from you and go. Because this is not really working. I don't like being miserable. But when it comes to our jobs, for some reason, it's like, that's okay. Like, it's okay to be miserable. Very strange. Also, one thing that I'm going to touch on is with this launching this business, you know, this is not my first time dabbling in the entrepreneurial world at all. So I kind of know how it goes. I definitely know what to expect as far as reactions. I know what to expect as far as support and just like a baseline of expectations. And I'm blessed to have people in my life that support the things I do, believe in me, believe in my abilities. And I think that's great. But there are always, this is more so for, I'm telling you guys, because it doesn't apply to my personal life, like my friends, where it definitely could apply to the business as a whole and other people's businesses. But when you launch a business, you simply just have to count those that you think are like absolutely going to support you. You literally have to count them out. And they might surprise you. That's not to say that they won't support you or that they hate you or hate whatever it is you're doing. But to save yourself the headache, you have to sometimes count those people out. Because you will let yourself, you'll be so disappointed and let down. And then what do you do with those emotions? Yell at them, be like, you didn't follow me on Instagram, or you didn't like my pictures on my business page, or you've been on Instagram all day and you didn't do any, you know. No, of course not. You're not going to say anything because you don't want to seem like that petty person or that dramatic person. But when you're launching a business or anything grand like that in your life, you have to be able to be proud of yourself. You have to be able to lean on yourself for encouragement and drive and motivation and that sort of thing. You have to, because we're only human, so you do, for the most part, we do want the people that are close to us to be proud of us and to hit us up and say, congratulations, I know you've been working for this, and repost or like or whatever the case may be. That, of course, that feels great. I love my friends do that. It feels wonderful. But for those that people that don't have those kind of people in their life, you know, you just have to, you cannot put all of your eggs in that basket of, if I don't get support from these people, then I'm not going to feel like I can do this. Like, I'm going to fall apart. You can't do that. You literally just can't do that. And that is fine. You're still going to move forward. You're still going to be successful. Like, that's that. And people always come around, let me just say. Like, if someone's not, if people that are close to you, like, let's say your brother or sister is not supporting you or whatever. Again, this, not personally, but in general, like, if your brother or sister's not supporting you and they act like that shit don't even exist or whatever it is that you're doing. But when you get what they deem to be success, whatever threshold that will be, that's when they're going to come around. And it's your choice to decide what to do from there. Bitch like me, I'm petty. So, you know, you already can figure out what I would do. That doesn't mean it's right. But I just say that to say, when launching a business, lean on yourself for encouragement. Lean on yourself to be proud of you. And that goes for anything, not just launching a business. When you're graduating from school, high school, middle, or hopefully you're not listening to this in your middle school, but high school, college, grad school or whatever. And, you know, I didn't feel support from my dad when I graduated college. I'm the first of all his kids to graduate college, and he didn't even show up. And, you know, that really fucked me up. But I had to, now as a grown, more of a grown up, because I was in my 20s, but I was still a kid. But now more of a grown up, looking back on those times and looking into the future of other things that I embark on, it will still hurt my feelings, that lack of support, if I run into it. But everything is not counted on that. When he didn't show up to my college graduation, it just took the wind out of my sails. Like, it really did, because I felt like he wasn't proud of me, so it wasn't an accomplishment because he wasn't proud of me. Forget the fact that how hard I worked, that I had a baby in my senior year in the fall semester, but still didn't take any time off and breastfed the whole time exclusively. It didn't matter that I maintained, you know, a job and being able to pay my rent and my bills and take care of my child with no help from him. None of that mattered. But when he didn't show up, it just, all of that became irrelevant. And I never wanted to feel like that again, that someone has that much power to take things that I'm proud of away from me. That's not fair. So I just want to pass that little tidbit on to you. I could talk about it for probably this entire episode, but I'm not going to do that. So let's go ahead and get right into today's question. This is actually a question that I think a lot of people have had before, which is interesting. But okay, today's question comes from someone just by the name of R. And the question is, hello, so I'm like literally the whitest of white, seriously a ghost in more than one meaning of the word. I have a name that technically should be written as four initials, so I'm not one that should say anything about names. But I would like to ask, why do a lot of African Americans seem to have strange names, strange in quotations? I mean, I hear lots of black women whose names are long and complicated to pronounce and less practiced. So I was just wondering if there's a reason as to why. I assume it's for similar reasons as to why a person who's Italian by blood but lives in America and always has would be given an Italian name to keep up with heritage. Is that right? I'm a middle schooler and I like to try and learn more about the people I see every day. Thank you so much. Okay, it's so funny. I just said that if you're a middle schooler, you should probably not be listening to this podcast. But I mean, middle schoolers today are not the middle schoolers of my decade. Let's just say that. So let's go ahead and dive right into this question. I think this is a question that I've heard so many times, and the name stigmas in the black community and how it echoes outside of the black community and how those stigmas affect a black person's everyday life is something that I've seen since I was a child and I still see as an adult. And my name is a name that definitely promotes such a stigma. So wonderful. So let me just start with my own personal experience with this name stigma. So when my name is Latifah, so everybody knows the very famous and talented Queen Latifah. So that kind of saved me a little bit because people recognize the name in that sense and it's spelled exactly the same way. But a lot of times when I was in grade school, like elementary school and middle school, teachers would read down the list and act like they wouldn't even attempt to try to pronounce my name correctly. Like, it was so bad, so terrible. They wouldn't even try to pronounce my name the correct way. And it would, I used to, like, literally feel anxiety, like, oh my gosh, they're about to call out names, and then they're going to get stuck on my name, and then that's going to be me. I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to have to raise my hand. Everyone's name in here is Susan and Zoe, and here I am, Latifa, like, those sticking out like a sore thumb. And in middle school, I went to a primarily white middle school, so that stress was, and all of my other black friends, for the most part, not all of them, but most of them had, it was only like five of us in my eighth grade class, but the other ones had names that were recognizable, and oftentimes, you know, they were very easy to pronounce, also given to a lot of white children, so it wasn't odd names like mine. So I definitely have dealt with that stigma, and it's not easy to deal with as a kid. Now, my son, I named him after my family. I named him Miles. Now, that is, I still feel like that's a black name, because a lot of times when you watch movies and stuff like that, the black character, especially if he's a token black character, will be named Miles. Like, that's like the name that's like, it's kind of like Darren, which is my dad's name. Like, I'm just giving you guys all my information. Anyways, but it's kind of like one of those names where it sounds like a black name. Like, if I heard the name Darren, I would 100% be expecting someone black to walk through the door. If I heard the name Miles, I would 100% be expecting someone black to walk through the door. But it doesn't hold that same stigma because I guess it's recognizable to the ear. It's a name that we've all heard plenty of times before. It's an old school name, classic, that sort of thing. But my motivation had nothing to do with that. It was all about me just wanting to name my son something meaningful from my family. But that's a stigma that he's not really going to have to deal with. I spell his name the standard way, same as you would spell a distance. And so, yeah, that's something that he won't have to deal with. And I'm kind of thankful for that. It's not, again, it wasn't a motivating factor at all. If I wanted to name him Daquan, I was going to fucking name him Daquan. I wouldn't care. But now, to get into this question about why black people have these creative names, for starters, like the question asker said, an Italian person that is Americanized and has been, you know, is like seventh generation, has been here for a very long time and is not as connected to their Italian heritage in the way that they had, you know, they're close to people that actually were born in Italy, they still may carry that tradition of Italian-based names, just like an Irish family or a Chinese-American family or so on and so forth. When I went to high school, I went to a very mixed high school, and a lot of the Polish kids in the high school had longer names, and they would, like, longer Polish traditional names, but they would tell their friends their names were something, a shorter version of that. So they would say their names were Josh or Paul or Peter, but it was really something much longer and more difficult to pronounce. But to avoid that, they would just say that their names were something shorter. So it's not something that is only exclusive to black people. But here's the thing. Other cultures like Irish, Polish, Italian, Asian, different Asian cultures, different Indian cultures, they're respected. Those traditions are respected by society as a whole. And almost admired a little bit. Like, oh, that's your Polish name? Oh, that's your Indian name? Oh, that's your Chinese birth name? That is so cool. That's so wonderful. That's so interesting. But for some fucking reason, black names are stigmatized and used against us, just like black hair is stigmatized and used against us, where it's not like that in other cultures. Black skin color is used against us. It's like, the things that are our culture that we've had to build and put piece together from here and there and there and there in this country because we were taken from our own culture is used against us, and we're stigmatized and we can't go live the way that we want to live because of these things, and we're judged based off of these things without people even knowing us. Because your name is very important. That's why, like, taking your husband's last name is so, like, such a thing and, like, so very important. People discuss it. That's why what you name your children is so important. Giving your last name or the father's last name to your children is so very important because your name is incredibly important to your identity and who you are. That's why a lot of people, if they want, you know, changing your name is not something where you can just do it online. Be like, you know what, today my name is going to be Susan or John or Paul, because it's very important to your identity. So when we are judged and excluded or anything of the like because of our names, it affects our whole entire life. So back in the times of slavery, slaves would be brought here, which a lot of people, well, let me not even say a lot of people know, a lot of people should know. Slaves would be brought here from different parts of either Africa or the Caribbean, so on and so forth, brought here to America. And in the process of selling slaves and getting the slaves to go to this plantation or that plantation across, you know, the United States, the South, a part of that processing would be giving them different names from the names that they had, and stripping the slaves of their language, their religion, their culture, the things that they were able to eat before they, you know, which food is also a very big part of culture, stripping that away and stripping away their names and giving them new names, which is essentially taking away a person's entire identity, you know, so, and giving them names that are standard white names or whatever names that they wanted to give them. But usually it's, they give them the family name and some standard white name like Susan or Rebecca or whatever names were popular back then. And that continued for a long time. You know, that's why we had the last names that we have. And that continued for a long time until we actually continue giving our children those standard Americanized, I don't even want to say white, but standard Americanized names. My grandfather's name was George. And, you know, so my mom's name is Janet or that sort of thing. So that we didn't really see a rise in these unique names that we are accustomed to today until about the 60s. Now, I found an article online from Slate.com, and I'll link it in the show notes, so in case you're very interested in finding out or reading up more on what I'm talking about. But in the article, they said that we didn't really see in this country a rise in unique names like Keisha or Daquan or Tyrone or those kinds of names that I'm sure if you try really hard, you can think of. Until the late 60s. Now, if you think about the late 60s in America, you know that that was the time that we saw a massive Black Power movement, a push for that, a massive push for Black Power and equality and racial equality, racial justice, and that sort of thing. That was that time where that all really became like the thing of that decade was about race, and that embracing our race and loving it and being proud of it. So in the 60s, that's when we really saw a huge shift in the name change, both with unique names like the ones that I've named, as well as names that were based in the Islam religion, because there was a big push for Islamic religion as well within the Black community during those times that continued on afterwards. So you saw celebrities like Muhammad Ali change his name to Muhammad Ali from Cassius Clay, or you saw Leroy Jones change his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which is another Islamic-based name like that. So in that time is where things started to shift as far as the names that we chose for our children and the way that we would want them to be presented. And I think that's a great thing. I love it. I fucking love when people just name your kid whatever the fuck you want to name them. Honestly, because now in this decade, you know, it's 2019, we see a lot of people not Black naming their kids after inanimate objects, directions, and random places, you know, but that's accepted. That's cool. That's interesting. But Daquan walks in the room and it's a problem. And I personally love the name Keisha, and I love the name Daquan too. And if I wanted to, I would name my kids that with no problem, because it's not a reflection of who they are as a person. And the negativity that surrounds those names are based on stigmas and stereotypes in this country of Black people. And to say that giving your child a name that represents them as black before they walk in the room is doing them an injustice is honestly disrespectful and saddening to even hear people of color to say, because I would never want my child, whatever the fuck I decide to name him, to be judged based on the name that he didn't even fucking choose for him. I chose it. You act like this man woke up and chose his own name. I have no control over what my name is at all. My parents gave me the name. That's who I am. It's a part of my identity, but it doesn't dictate who I am as a person. So if, you know, again, our names do affect how we move, especially for black people. A lot of people, you know, we are discriminated based on our names in the job market. When you're trying to buy a house or rent an apartment, if they see a name that alerts them that you're black, a lot of times they will judge you off of that and decide not to work with you in whatever way that you're trying to work with them based off the fact that your name is a black name. However, it's a power. I love seeing people of color in positions of power, whether it be in politics or celebrities, you know, in the entertainment field, or police officers, or whatever, judges, whatever the case is, in a position of power with a name that you've never fucking heard before. I love that shit, because that is to say that my name is not gonna hold me back, and I'm gonna wear this name with pride, just like I wear my skin color with pride, and I wear who the fuck I am with pride. Because if somebody doesn't want to hire my son, because that's the thing people say, like, oh, he's never going to get hired with a name like Daquan. If somebody doesn't want to hire my baby Daquan, forget the fact that he's educated, he's capable, he's willing, he's determined and driven. If they don't want to hire him because his name is fucking Daquan, that's not a fucking job I want him to have. And I'm, you know, sorry for using so many F-bombs, but I get so irritated by that, because that's another way that we idolize white culture and demonize black culture, and it pisses me off, because I guess I have been affected by it so much in my life, because my name is Latifa, and I grew up hating my name. I really did. I hated the sound of it. I hated the sound of my name coming out of my own mouth, you know, and it sounded annoying, and it sounded ghetto, and it sounded like it didn't fit who I was. But it only sounded those ways because that's what other people told me it was, not because that's who I was. That's the very important thing that we have to realize when it comes to when you stigmatize these types of names. It's not, I'm not those negative things. You know, I'm not the negative stereotypes that are attached to names like mine. You're trying to put that on me, but that's not who I am. And I get to decide how I represent that name. I get to decide that, because guess what? There's a bunch of Johns out here and a bunch of Peters out here that end up being killers and rapists and everything else. But does that affect the way that we view the names John and Peter? Of course not. So why do we have to then treat names like Daquan and Keisha like they're automatically these negative stereotypes that we associate with the black culture? That, you know, that's something that I would love to you guys to weigh in on and share your opinion with. But to answer your question, black names and that creative factor stems back to the movement in the 60s, and people started to name their children more creative names that represented the black culture when that Black Pride movement, they didn't want to be associated with standardized, Americanized, or quote-unquote white names anymore. And I love that shit. I love it. I think it's great. And I now, as an adult, I love my name. I think it's an individual name. It's special. It's interesting. You won't forget it. I promise you that. I know that when I tell my name to somebody, there won't be another one. I've met a couple of Tifas in my life. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of my friends have, you know, different sounding names or names I've never heard before, but that are so beautiful. And I love them. I think they're wonderful. And there's nothing wrong with having, my son's name is Miles. There's nothing wrong with having a standardized American name. The point is, you get to decide who you're going to be regardless, because your name could be Mary and you could be out here fucking wilding the fuck out. You could be out here sticking people up. Okay. You get to decide how you represent that name. And I'm really sick and tired of the stigma that comes behind, names that sound that sound, I'm doing air quotes, black, you know, wear that shit with pride. Like, you're, the people that named you wanted you to. Wear that shit with fucking pride. I don't care what it is. Wear that shit with pride and say, yeah, that's my name. And what? Okay. All right. Now what? Anyways, guys, thank you so much for listening. That's all I have this week. If you want to submit your question, you can go ahead and go over to askablackchick.com. It should take you directly to the page where you can submit your question anonymously if you like, or you can enter your name, whichever you want. And if you don't want to do it that way for some strange reason, you can go over to info@askablackchick.com, send me an email, and let me know if you want me to say your name or not, and you can submit your question that way. I love answering your questions. I love this conversation that we're having. I love being able to break down these barriers and create this level of understanding. I truly love it. I'm so lucky to be able to do this, to have you guys listening, and I appreciate you. Please like, share, suggest the podcast to your friend that, you know, you guys are talking about something with race one day, and you're like, you know what? I listened to a podcast about that. Let me suggest it to you. You would love it. She's interesting. The she is me. So please go over to iTunes and like and comment if you can, and share. And also, if you can, you know, we're available over on Spotify now, so you can listen to us on Spotify. Ask the Black Chick over there. And thank you so much for listening. And until next time, bye.